call it. So maybe we can leave that to the end.
Yeah.
And then, okay. Okay, so welcome, everyone. Today is November 6, 2014. My name is Michael Gruninger at the University of Toronto, and I will be facilitating today's meeting. As president of the International Association of Ontology, its applications, it calls by tradition for me to be one of the co-chairs for Ontology Summit 2015. And our goal today is to identify what the theme of that Ontology Summit will be. Once we've identified this theme, we will identify the organizing committee based on that theme, have a kind of a planning meeting in the early December for people who want to be involved in the organization. Typically, an Ontology Summit is organized into tracks. There'll be technical tracks. Typically, there in the past, there have been like about four technical tracks, and there's some other affiliated tracks. In the past 3 years, we've had a hackathon and other sorts of related activities end up being put into what we call tracks. So what we'll be doing in December will be, once we've identified the theme today, then in December that there'll be a meeting where people come together and identify really what those tracks are going to be, identify who are going to be what we call the track champions, who coordinate the track sessions, and go on from there. And then the idea being that we'll have our official kickoff session in January. And for people who are very new to the Ontology Summit, this is a kind of a virtual online series of sessions. We will have them every Thursday at this time. And typically, again, we have, since we have four technical tracks, there will be about eight to 10 sessions starting in January. And each track will get about two sessions. And each session consists of various kinds of things. It can be series of paper presentations, they can be panel discussions, whatever the track champions see fit. And then this will culminate in a face-to-face symposium in April. Again, the exact dates are going to be determined by the organizing committee. We also need to find a physical location for the Ontology Summit symposium. So that'll be something we also need to, the organizing committee will need to identify. That's the big picture, but like I say, today our objective is to identify what the theme for Ontology Summit 2015 will be. So, at the last session in October 9th, we winnowed down the potential list of themes to four. The first was an applied ontology body of knowledge. So earlier there had been this discussion of having a textbook, but people thought that this would be a more dynamic and fruitful idea. So this would be analogous to the software engineering body of knowledge, the project managed body of knowledge, and things like that. A second theme that arose out of the discussion in October was related to the Internet of Things. A third theme was socio-technical aspects of applied ontology. And finally, a fourth theme was on artifacts. So those are just the order in which they kind of arose out of the discussion last week. There's no other semantics to be imputed to that ordering. And in fact, today we will be looking at these in a different order. I think what we'll do, since Leo is championing the artifacts theme, we're going to leave that until he joins us, hopefully very soon. After that, we will talk about applied ontology body of knowledge theme. And so I thought what we would do is maybe start off, since Rob has to leave briefly at one, maybe we could start off with the ideas that Rob and Mark Underwood and Joel Bender have on proposing an Internet of Things.
Michael?
Yes.
Did you post that on the website? I don't know how to post that on the website. You said post it, but I have no clue how to do that. So I tried to log in. It said I cannot log in. So the proposal that we put together.
Yeah, I am not able to post things right now myself.
Yeah. So what do you do then? How does people know? Like, do I have to email it to some email address? I can do that, if you can do that.
I'm trying to get it online. I'm trying to get it in right now.
Who's that, Mark?
This is Ken.
Ken McCloskey.
Oh, Ken, how are you doing? Yeah.
So
do you have the copy of the proposal that we sent? Or,
yes, I do.
Hey, Ram?
Yeah.
Could you just paste some of the text into the chat box?
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now here.
Yeah, there's a lot of text there, which I got current.
Oh, well, just the salient points or the sales points?
Yeah, Ron, why don't you kind of give an oral presentation here, and I'll paste in the potential track titles.
Well, the title that we gave was called Internet of Everything Towards Smart Network Systems and Societies. So that's the title, okay? So the idea is that you have Internet of Things and social networks combined together is called as the Internet of Everything. Okay, that's what I guess GE or Cisco, they call it. And so the claim here is that ontologies will play a significant role in the realization of this. Okay? So, actually, in fact, I can cut the last part and paste it so that everyone has a part of it. You can read it. This is the major part here. You can paste that, and you can see. Yeah, it's there. Okay. So you said there's a considerable amount of data which passes through the network and should be converted to higher abstractions that can be used in reasoning. So that's the key thing. So what we did was we came up with a number of tracks. There were a couple of Mark Guy and I guess Joel. Is he on the line? I guess not. So we came up with a set of tracks, which I'm going to paste again here.
Yeah, I just pasted them in, Ron.
Oh, you pasted them again, so I don't need to do anything? Okay.
Nope.
The fact. I don't see anything here, Michael.
Right before yours.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So those are the tracks there. The first one is more at the architectural level in terms of the vision of IOE ontology integration. And the second one talks more about, hey, right now there's a lot of stuff going on in semantic sensor networks. It's going beyond that to multimodal ontologies. It's more than just sensors. It's a lot more than that. The track three is kind of more to do with a lot of data going in there, and it's like big data and ontologies. And we kind of had a summit last time, so we may do a recapitulation and extensions for that particular theme. Then it's a track four, which I have A and B. One is supporting development of domain-specific ontologies, and from data models to IOE ontologies. What are the software development? It's a SDLC. I think it's a software development lifecycle challenges, what it is. Track five is decision-making in different domains and how ontologies can be used in different domains like healthcare, manufacturing, and so on within the IOE context. How are these being currently done and what needs to be done? Track six is more about standards and synergies for developing IOE ontologies. Track seven is about case studies in healthcare, manufacturing, and disaster resilience. Finally, we have track eight, which I put forward. See, what's the future for all this in terms of research funding? So the idea is to invite a lot of various funding agencies to come and talk about their research, or at least their commitments in this particular area and what they are planning to do for the future. Mark, do you have any other...
No,
I think you take care of some of these tracks. So.
That's good. I can fill in some details on a couple of these that I contributed, but I think that's a good overview to start with.
So that's a summary of this particular overall theme.
Okay, that sounds great. So also for people who are new, the way that we manage the discussion here will be via the chat. So on the lower right-hand corner of the chat window, you'll see a hand. Click on that hand, and that will put you in the queue to make comments. And we will go through everybody in the order that they put their hands up. I noticed there are two people, Anonymous and Anonymous One. If you could please put in your name. To identify yourself there, simply click on that box that's at the lower right-hand side. And oh, thanks, Mike. There's one more anonymous person.
Click on the settings button.
Right. Unless it really is anonymous of internet fame, in which welcome.
So this is William Sweet. I'm dialed in only. I have some connectivity issues, so perhaps you can just reach out to me when it's appropriate for me to make a comment or ask a question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so does anyone have some comments on what Rom presented, which again was some work there with Rom, Mark, and Joel? Go ahead, Todd.
I think it's – oh, sorry.
So who is that? Andrea?
This is Donna.
Oh, Donna. Okay, sorry. So Todd and then Donna.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Todd. You might be muted yourself. I haven't muted anybody.
Sorry, I thought I unmuted. Okay. These cover a lot of areas, and it's not clear to me how all of them connect back to this Internet of Things. For instance, how does decision-making relate back to that?
Yeah, Todd, Ram here. I can answer that. Everything is with respect to IOE. I didn't want to put IOE everywhere. Everything is with respect to IOE. So it's understood.
Right, but what's the role of decision-making? Maybe you could elaborate that track a little bit more.
Okay. In terms of decision-making, like, for example, when you have all this social sensor kind of information in terms of ontologies, and then you have all the sensor information from various video, audio, all kinds of things coming in. So then you got to make, it depends on the situational awareness of that thing. So based on that particular situation, you got to make a decision. As an example, suppose you're walking down the road and coughing. And what happens is that you get an asthma attack or something like that. So the system will take that particular situation, and it will also see what is happening around the in the environment. All the sensor data is coming from somewhere, the air pollution information, and some of the people are suffering from asthma around the same area and all kinds of things. And it takes all those things and then have to use some inference process to see that, well, this is what you should do next. That's what I mean by decision-making. And decision-making
okay.
is several levels of abstraction. You have the top level, very high-level, executive-level decision-making, and then you have, again, low-level decision-making. So there's a hierarchy of these decision-making. And if you're looking at the transportation network, then there's a controller there who's trying to decide where to take where to send the traffic to, how to reroute the traffic.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why.
Thank you.
So everything here is specific to IOE. It's not like, but I didn't want to put IOE everywhere. So that's all.
Go ahead, Donna.
But maybe it's already been covered by Ron, but I just wanted to reemphasize that I think the idea of the multimedia world is very interesting here in terms of how video, sound, you know, kind of the multi-sensor
mm-hmm.
Experience, I think is really important to emphasize.
Great. So I guess another thing that we need to do is to find out track champions and things so that if this really goes through. So, again...
Right. So that would be the work to do between now and early December. So if we adopt this theme, then over the next month, that goes with any theme that we identify today, whatever theme we identify today. Sorry, the champions today will be kind of coordinating who the potential track champions could be.
I'm just putting this forward, that's all. It may not necessarily be the topic because I promised that I will do it last time. And so I got, and then Mark and Joel also said they're interested in this thing, so they put this thing together.
Well, it sounds quite exciting, actually. So, and I really like the elaboration of the track topic. It was great. Okay. So Donna, do you have any comments?
I think Donna's hand is still up. Maybe she needs to take it down, I guess.
Yeah, I do. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Todd.
Ron, only suggestion I would have on that last track, 8, rather than focus on the research funding issue, which I know is of interest to many people on the forum, I would hope you could include trying to get people from industry, you know, whether it's Cisco or IBM or somebody else, that are actually doing things in this area currently and what their plans might be if they're willing to reveal them.
That's a good idea, so we can reward that particular track 8. We don't need to say research funding. It says future directions. Just take the research funding out and say future directions. Current and future directions, you can call it if you want to.
Or just, thank you.
Okay, so that's all I have.
Mark,
you want to make any comments? You can go ahead, Mark.
I too was anxious to get some industry participation. They might fit into the case studies as well. I guess it depends on how we organize those tracks and who the champions turn out to be. But for other conferences I've been to, it's generally fruitful to try to get people who are both in academia and in industry wrestling with these things, even if they're in a face-off scenario.
So, yeah, Mark, I think we discussed this before. The thing is that in track 7, we thought we'll cover some of those things which people are already, where it's being used. And then I thought that track 8 would be just the future directions. So that's probably the reason why I put research funding, but we can change it.
Oh, that's fine.
Donna, you have some more comments?
Yeah, it also occurs to me that there might be some exciting opportunities working with the museum and not-for-profit world in terms of education in the Internet of Things. It might make it for a more well-rounded, forward-looking possibility.
Yeah, I could see that being, say, some of the case studies, the proposed Track 7, right? So healthcare, situational awareness.
Yeah.
Situational awareness, I think, is maybe what I would be thinking when you said the word museum or something like that.
Yeah, potentially, but I think there's probably even more. Yeah, I guess you've also just touched on not limiting those case studies to those three areas. It makes it look like a certain direction is being taken,
mm-hmm.
making it more broad.
Yeah, I'll just add that comment in on your behalf in the chat here.
Thank you. I don't know how to remove.
Just click on your hand again.
Oh, I did it. Okay.
And the hand icon there. Yeah.
Speaking of things.
anybody else have comments?
William Sweet here. Once again, I'm challenged in that I don't have connectivity. I can't see the chat screen. So Internet of Things is very interesting and, of course, very timely. So I can get a better handle on what this looks like. I've done some healthcare ontology. So can you give me some idea of how you see this Internet of Things work applied to healthcare? I can see how healthcare protocols communicated with things would work. Is that what you have in mind, or what do you think you have in mind with respect to healthcare?
There's a lot of stuff going on in that area. Who's talking? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
My name is William Sweet. I work for MITRE, mostly on the civilian side. I've done HDD, healthcare ontologies. I spent a lot of time trying to make the SOA semantic.
Yeah, in terms of the healthcare world, there are several places where the ontologies come into picture. For example, if you're talking about Internet of Things, medical devices are things. So you have medical devices both at several places, one in the hospital. Those are called patient care devices. I'm not sure I should be going into too much detail in this thing, but if you stop me, because I've been looking into this for some time, so I might try to. I probably will go on a tangent on these things. But briefly, what I would like to say is that there are different kinds of medical devices. I'm just taking only the device world, the patient care devices and the personal devices like the Fitbit and things like that you wear. And so if you're sending information from one device to other device in terms of the interoperability, the semantics matter a lot. Because what happens is that one device is saying more nitric oxide or whatever it is. Other device is saying, no, there's something wrong around in here. But right now, a lot of it is basically signals moving around, and there's no semantics around it. So, but then when you're talking about this connected world of health, mobile health, play a major role. Our ontologies play a major role, and there are a number of researchers who are looking into it. We can get them to talk about it. Did I answer your question, William?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Or if you want more details, like you can send me an email. I can send you some papers and slides on that.
Okay. Thanks.
Before I move on, or Ken, go ahead.
Internet of everything, Michael. So sorry about that. It's Internet of everything. I put in stuff. Internet of things. Internet of things. What people can assume only physical things.
Right.
But we're talking both about physical things and the social things. So.
Okay. Right. Go ahead, Ken.
Oh, what's the difference between track 4 and track 6? They're both developing ontologies.
Okay, Mark, do you want to talk about that? Because I think I got this off you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so there could be an overlap, so we might want to wrestle with that, but I'll try to defend this to the extent that I can. The concern in track 4 overall is to try to peel out the domain-specific work, because a lot of people are working on this who are trying to solve specific problems and working inside of a particular domain and building out a domain that may or may not be connected to bigger semantic networks and larger ontologies or non-ontology systems that they're building bridges to. That's happening, for example, with the smart urban infrastructure and so on. So we wanted to separate out actually the activities associated with the domain-specific work in track 4. Track six, there's existing standards in biomedical devices and so on that are synergistic with developing the ontologies. We could consider whether these ought to be merged, but track 4 is mainly a software development building focus, and the other one is basically just to list out other work that people are doing that could impact this.
So maybe track 4C?
Yeah.
Maybe you have a sip, maybe track 4C instead of track 6?
No objection
well,
to that.
The track 4 is on, as Mark mentioned, is focused on software development, while track 6 is on standards, really. What are the current and future standards?
But for developing. So
yeah, for developing, yeah.
So it certainly fits well with 4. So just a thought there.
I kind of repasted this. That's okay. So we can discuss that once later on. I think I'm not sure that we need to do that.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're kind of just
okay, but it's one of the. It looks really exciting, yeah. And I think maybe the only other thing is track 3 seems to assume, well, it's basically the whole previous summit. maybe a little bit too broad for one track.
We may have to Ken, on that, we may probably summarize some of those activities from previous one, because and the reason why I put that is recently, I gave a talk at the Internet of whatever things, semantics and Internet of Things, and this is I used the slides that were developed for that particular summit, and there was considerable interest in there. And I guess Mark was there.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, were you there at that workshop at the IEEE Big Data conference?
No, I was on another track, unfortunately.
Oh, you're on the track. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, so that's why I put in there. But again, all these tracks can be.
I think it's
just a preliminary version, and we can change anything depending on what happens next.
Yeah, I think it's worth keeping, and now I understand your point of view.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that I had been, interested in seeing is whether or not this topic would be big enough from the summit's perspective. And by identifying so many potential tracks, I think that answers that question. As an affirmative yes. So I just and also invite Mark, if you could put in your comments, your response to Ken's question, if you just type that into the chat or a summary of that into the chat so we can have that as a record for future.
Will do.
Thanks. So just to play devil's advocate here before we can move on to the next potential theme, are there any drawbacks to adopting the Internet of Everything as a theme? Any kind of anything that jumps out at people?
Well, it's not bounded.
Okay, so we'd have to, yeah, definitely make sure to scope it properly. Yeah, okay. That was Terry, right?
Yeah, it was Bing. Sorry.
Okay, so Terry, maybe just put in your comment there then, too. Leo, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the only real thing is that it could be too big, right? So we need to scope it down as you suggest.
Okay. That's always a good thing. I mean, that's when you have a topic that's broad, scoping it is a good idea. Okay. So if there aren't any other comments on this one, I think what we'll do is we'll go to the next theme, and we'll kind of go through each of these themes. And then after we've gone through each of the themes with discussion and things like that, then we'll kind of come back and we'll revisit everything and have a kind of a wide open discussion on all the themes together. So the next track we want to discuss was the socio-technical aspects of applied ontology that Terry and Longstreth and Christopher Spottiswood had talked about last time. So I'm not sure who would like to speak first, Terry or Christopher. Go ahead, Terry.
I was going to say, Christopher has done a lot more work on this. He's been putting stuff on the mailer. I've only got a few thoughts, so maybe I should just put mine up here. I have them in a open office presentation, which hopefully isn't visible. So I'm just going to paste the take the points out of the thing here and paste them onto the chat.
Okay. In the meantime, Christopher, did you want to say a few things to summarize your post from earlier today? Christopher, are you on? I can see you in the chat. Are you on the chat? A lot of noise now. Christopher, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Did you say yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. About a couple of hours ago, I sent a rather a weird missive to the mailing list that I called an interlude in the longer series that I was planning to send to describe my particular take on the socio-technical aspects of applied ontology. I haven't discussed it with Terry. I'm sorry, Terry, that I haven't and I didn't reach out to try to coordinate here, but there is very much a specific theme which I am proposing. It's in very much as described in the subject line of my two recent postings to the list, that is ontology as the basis of the mainstream of software engineering and social apps. Now, I'd just like to talk briefly to that specific title because it will help situate much of the other material that I've sent round. When I talk about the mainstream of software engineering, it looks a very technical thing. But where this whole thing comes from is the social app side, not the modern social apps, the Twitter and the Facebook of this world, but just more people collaborating and in a complex socio-economic setting. In other words, very much human. It's organizational. It's administrative. It's policies. It's permissions. It's conflict. It's resolution of consent of conflict. Finding consensus, promoting and building on consensus. So that's the scene that I'm referring to when I talk about social apps. And I use the word social apps because I do mean to challenge what we now regard as social apps. I think they're terribly superficial and need to be much jacked up. So how to jack them up? We need better software, better data processing in the old-fashioned sense of the term, and much more agile evolution of the whole scene. So that's why I talk about software engineering. And it's the mainstream because I do believe there's a very clear philosophical, socio-historic mainstream that I've brought together to in support of that particular conception of social apps. So the socio-technical aspects of applied ontology are is a bit of a gloss over what I'm getting at. It's a sort of a general description which misses the specificity of my particular take here. So I also initially, when I suggested this theme in the previous session, I invoked the White House's NSTIC strategy, and the very strong links there. For the last couple of years, I've been fairly involved in the what's happening in the NSTIC within the IDESG, the ID ecosystem steering group that has been set up to pursue the NSTIC strategy, the Trusted Identities in Cyberspace strategy. And that, of course, is part of what I mean by social apps. So all along, before identities, trusted identities became a branch of industry, I was talking about identifiers and identities and the relationship between them and how those should be handled in a flexible way. So this is something which is, this whole story is something which is very different from anything that you're used to. And the latest so-called interview that I sent round brings that out, or tries to bring that out. But what I didn't say, what I should have, is that it's implicit in this concept, this is the mainstream, is that it's building on what's there. So what I'm talking about is complementary to everything that you, the ontologists, do. It's complementary to everything that you've got. It's only taking a whole lot further on very sound, wide-ranging theoretical bases. So with that brief introduction, what can we do for the summit? And what I would like to propose is that the summit critically examine this very strong thesis which I'm putting forward and which I've come across very bullish about in the latest post to the Ontolog and summit, to the forum and summit mailing lists. I've come across very strongly there, and it needs, firstly, it needs critical examination, and secondly, it needs constructive assistance. It needs to be brought out, deployed in the wide internet market far quickly than I as an individual can do. It's been too big a picture for all people, really, anybody really, to want to touch it. It looks too broad, it looks too ambitious, it looks too crazy and way out. So people generally stay clear of it. So what I'm looking for is some other crazy people, or apparently what some people might think of, other people might think of as crazy people, who can come along and join in a wider-ranging selling out to the developer community out there of this Ride the Mainstream project that I've been engrossed with for such a long time. So what I would suggest for the summit then is this critical examination of where it is at the moment, where I see it going forward, and I'm sure that if there'll be many different opinions there, but I think it is in the nature of the whole thesis that it will combine those different opinions in a firm way forward. So this is something very different for a summit. This is regarding the summit as a dynamic laboratory of what I insistently argue as being the mainstream of software engineering and social apps, and that laboratory should come up with what I've called a challenge, formal or informal, a grand challenge, formal or informal, to the wider developer market to take it further consistently with the ontology, the ontology-based architecture, which is the right sort of basis for an architecture for system software engineering in an agile and evolutionary way. Sorry, that was a long speech, but I think we can build it by means of a few sessions in the short term. We could perhaps build up a lot of momentum, which will multiply itself and build up to either a summit, the summit theme, or just one summit theme amongst others.
Okay, very, very interesting and ambitious. Terry, your thoughts?
Well, I put a note on the chat. CRISPR sounds like a very ambitious thing. I wondered if you've got any estimates of the amount of effort required to even just to create the architecture in a form that could be interpreted by designers to build a system like that or to build the interfaces for it. Have you thought of that, the effort required?
Fortunately, the whole exercise has got a saving grace, and that is the main concrete deliverable is what I've called the application operating system, and it incorporates conceptually the... In other words, when I say conceptually, I mean not every variant of the application operating system need contain it, but some of them will contain an IDE, Integrated Development Environment. And this is really software engineering from top to bottom, through the entire marketing cycle, from needs awareness through to delivery and feeding back to needs awareness, the entire marketing and development, deployment and feedback cycle. So it contains in itself the answer to what you're looking for.
Thank you. Is there some more questions for Chris? As soon as we're done with his side, I'd like to show what I've got on the chat. Or talk about it.
Should I go or not?
Go ahead. Oh, sorry. Who's that? Sorry.
Connectivity. So if I understand this problem correctly, and please tell me if I'm right or wrong here, I divide this into three separate layers. I don't know which is the first, second, or third, but on one layer you want to model essentially the mechanism and dynamics of human interaction in society. Then you want to model software.
You are now muted.
You want to model a software development environment to produce that software. So perhaps maybe one layer would be appropriate for a topic, or at least maybe that would be your tracks. Over.
Yeah, that's the very conventional view. In actual fact, they're integrated. There's no great distinction between analysis and design in using this architecture. They go together. That's truly agile. It's obviously the challenge is complex, but the simplification of complexity in the social modes is the essence of what the whole thing is about.
Yeah, all right, so one thing I was thinking too could be like if getting a lot of feedback on one of the lines. That's good. So one possibility could be to explore this topic in a kind of a future mini series within Ontolog Forum, rather than as an ontology summit. Yeah, sorry, someone's going to see Dr. Navarro.
Yes, that is that is certainly the appropriately cautious and conservative way of approaching it, and I'm very happy to go along with that, because I think whatever steps are taken now will soon grow into strides and sprints.
I'm not sure. There is a non-English speaker line that is getting a lot of feedback. It sounds like Spanish. If you could touch the line, can you please do a star six? So.
Contento de correr, el complemento del nombre como papel de envolver, zapatos de correr,
momento
especial, cerca de morir,
un
despertado por el ladrado del perro,
mientras tanto, quiero llegar a tiempo. Quiero llegar a tiempo. Quiero llegar a
tiempo.
Okay, so there's, I can see everybody. And I'm just trying to figure out how to, okay, actually it's better now.
The noise has stopped.
Yeah.
Whoever was talking in a foreign language quit talking near their phone.
Well, then there was it's background noise. So it was,
I think it was Skype interfering with itself.
Okay. Now I can see everybody now. Okay, and I can see who's talking. Okay. All right. Let's go back then. Where are we here? Terry, do you want to have a few things to say then?
Well, I'll just read it off from the chat. I didn't get anything like the depth of detail that Chris has. My starting point was that the issue is, well, first decide what you mean by socio-technical, and I stated it.
Welcome to the conference.
Social, and the socio just means that things that dealing with cultural or social parts of our world. But it is not talking about individual people or corporations. In other words, it's talking about groups, generally self-organized, but groups and how they are different from the individuals that make them up. The technical is just the idea that there are physical artifacts that have social and cultural interactions, or that promote or impede or somehow relate to society and culture. The ideas of that might be things that the summit itself could address are the idea that ontology could, as I say, organize and record the features of cultures to expose and help resolve cultural and societal differences. I'm thinking of things like machine translation. Clearly, Watson is working in that realm a little bit. But more directly, how can one use a cultural definition to find ways to interact across different cultures? If I'm trying to create an environment for different cultures to interact, can ontology help me do that? The question of whether where technology is bound to cultures and societies. The example I give is that an arrowhead and talking about arrowheads is probably not relevant to a society that that doesn't have flint or wood, or at least a flint, a Stone Age arrowhead. So that talking to Amazonian Indians about airplanes is very difficult. Can ontology help us bridge those gaps? Whether ontological studies can help us identify things that are that can be separated from cultural and social concerns or considerations. We talk all the time about how our data environments are established based on social norms. In America, we talk about zip codes. Zip codes and postcodes aren't the same. You know, can ontology help us keep track of those distinctions? And well, clearly, database environments do that all today, but they're not very flexible. Can ontology help us invite, or can we invite ontology to help us find ways to mitigate the distinctions, to mitigate the conflicts that arise because of such distinctions? How do we get IPv4 and IPv6? To operate seamlessly. There are people that are working on that right now, and some say they've got it solved, but I'm not convinced that it really isn't a cultural difference that we need to bridge. That's all I got for now. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Terry. So do you have any ideas like what potential tracks would be? Again, not necessarily like, oh, those are the tracks that you would have, but just to get a sense of the breadth and tractability, feasibility of this theme.
Well, you know, I can see actually looking at Ron's list, I can see perhaps taking one or two of those and expanding it to talk about cultural differences and society and social differences, the difference between the military culture and the academic culture, for example. Do both of them have the same plans for standards and synergies? You talk about Internet of Everything, everything doesn't even look the same from these different cultural perspectives. We talk about tanks, for example. The British invented, used a secret project and gave the project the name Tank because they were telling everybody they were building boilers for locomotives. Those are the kinds of things where you get cultural collisions. Bad example maybe, but that's what I'm thinking that would be one place where track six in Ron's list.
Okay.
Well, almost any of these, you could add a perspective on cultural differences.
Christopher.
Yes, I just wanted to chip in. Thank you. I just wanted to chip in quickly there with the comment that the whole project that I'm talking about, in fact, comes from that multicultural setting. I'm sitting here in South Africa. That's where I've come, where I was born and bred. And I don't need to talk about the cross-cultural issues in South Africa, I'm sure, to anybody. And so this is where the whole thing came from. And it was out of that that I've been developing this architecture and tools for dealing with commonality and difference, of leveraging commonality where it exists and isolating and building on difference where it is real and or valuable. So that's very much in support of your entire project there, Terry. That sounds very good. And anything which any contributions which you can rope in from outside along the lines of what you were talking about would set up nice synergies with the deliverables that I'm talking about.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
Okay, the line's quieted down, so I have found the setting to mute everyone. So it's going to happen if we start getting that feedback again. I'm going to mute everyone, and people will have to do a *7 to talk. But if you think keep quiet, then we can continue this way. No, maybe I will just mute everybody. So I'm going to mute everyone, and if you want to speak, you need to press *7 on your keypad to talk. Okay, so I'm just going to try that right now.
Michael, this is Ram here. Actually, I'm driving, so I will be on mute. The only thing that I wanted to kind of mention is about the next location.
Right.
And the reason is that we used to hold it at NIST every year. Until last year, we had it at NSF. So if you were to have it at NIST, then I need to look right from now to see if there are any rooms and what are the potential dates. Because these things get booked long, long time ahead. So that's the only concern I have. Unless we can get someone at NITRT to host it, I'm going there right now, and I will check and see if there is anyone who could do that. Okay.
Right. That'd be great.
So I'm gonna go to mute again. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, Christopher, you have is that your hand up still, or do you have something else to say? Again, *7 to unmute. I think I can unmute you here. Can I see you? No, I'm not sure which one you are.
No, I have meant
okay,
to
go ahead.
My hand down.
Go ahead. Okay, your hand up? Okay. All right.
My hand is down. At least it should be.
Thanks. Any other comments on this before we move to discussion of the next potential theme? Okay. So the next theme we can discuss would be Leo. Leo, *7 to talk, and you can present your ideas on what you would see.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Yes, let me yank something into chat here, and it's just a brief outline. On the one hand, I think it's too much. On the other hand, I think it may be too narrow. But I like some of the other topics. So with that, I'll put this in chat. Hold on one second. Okay, so artifacts. This is something that I've been interested in the last few years myself personally, and it cuts across many items that affect all of us and affect what we do when we create ontology. So let me just go through this very quickly. Which is an enumeration, it's a list. I only have two tracks because there was getting to be too much detail under those. So track one, for example, focusing on ontological analysis. There's many things, artifacts, just quickly defined as things that are basically human or sentient being designed or used things. So it could be actually a physical object, like a stick that's used for a club, for example, and then it becomes an artifact. And animals, we know some animals can use tools, so a tool you can think of as an artifact because it may be some sort of existing physical object. When we ontologize, of course, we have to worry about how it's being interpreted and used. So it's not just a stump or a stick, but it could be a weapon. But under ontological analysis, things such as artifacts, of course, and how do you distinguish them from other things in the world? And that brings into play function, intention, and purpose. So intended, there seems to always be an intention behind things that are artifacts. Now, it gets a little blurred. Sometimes it's metaphoric. Our usage is sometimes metaphoric. So when we talk about function, we have to distinguish between natural functions or functions we suggest are for natural things, such as what the function of the heart is, for example, which is not an artifact per se. So when you talk about intention and purpose, some sort of implicit teleology or something comes into play, meaning a lot of things that aren't artifacts seem to have some sort of intentional notion behind them, so we have to distinguish. So this is getting into ontological philosophical issues, but I just want to state it very quickly. And then purpose, of course, behind artifacts. Artifacts are typically created or used for, come into being, if you will, for a reason. Specifications, in many cases, we build artifacts based upon a specification. This will get into certain particular domains in, more than others, but a specification like, you know, what do you want to have? It could be schema or blueprint or something like that, architecture. What do you want from this object that you're going to be creating? And then, of course, other aspects that are maybe more downstream, like design. You got to design it to match some sort of specification of the functions. Creation, realization, and implementation, but also change and maybe sometimes coercion. Things that were designed for one thing now and you being used for something else. And then implicitly, roles come into play and uses. These are not completely separable bullets. But track two, of course, where these artifacts come up, the obvious things are, you know, technology, science, and engineering, but also manufacturing as kind of a specific aspect of maybe engineering. And I just leave it at manufacturing simply because, you know, there's a range of things we could talk about under manufacturing. Information artifacts is a big bullet because it includes things such as provenance, but also, you know, software and services, the whole life cycle. Think of object-oriented programming and the paradigm where you go from model, maybe architecture, to model, to design, or analysis before that, to design, implementation, maintenance, and so forth. I mean, so at a certain point, you end up with an artifact, which is software. A cyber domain, which is, again, distinguishable because in many cases, they're physical objects that have an information or cyber equivalent. I send you a file. If it was a paper file or a book or something like that, then I transfer possession. So there's different aspects and different kinds of artifacts, whether they're physical or information-based. Data schemas, conceptual models, and ontologies. Kind of this is our eating our own dog food, you know, it applies to us too, all this. Ontologies that we build are artifacts. Our social artifacts such as, you know, group and community, they could be agreements, they could be things that we create for our own human interaction or human ecological interaction. including, of course, government, business, education, et cetera. And then finally, there's art and fiction, which we, you know, are distinct kinds of artifacts because they're partially realizable in the real world, but they seem to be in a different realm, so there may be different aspects of artifacts. So I know this is a little technical and more detailed, perhaps, than for an ontology summit, but I thought I'd throw these things out. And I guess that's it.
Okay. Thanks, Dale.
Yeah.
So open for comments from people. Remember, it's star 7 to talk.
Michael, this is Ram here. I cannot lift my hand up, but
okay, go ahead, Ram.
So I think what Leo mentioned is something that we've been thinking about for some time in terms of the manufacturing world. The whole notion, I think you were there at MSID when this was going on, the notion of product process ontologies and device ontologies and things like that.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a good body of knowledge out there in terms of that particular area on what's happening. And the other thing is, which happened to me, which I just thought about, is that notion of the thing that we talked about, that could itself be an artifact. It could be a social, it could be a human artifact, it could be a physical artifact. So one could even have a track on that, a very specific track on this particular domain. Just a comment.
Thanks, Ron.
Yes, thank you.
Other comments?
Hello, William Sweet. Am I on?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay. I like this topic very much. This was my favorite topic coming into this forum. I like it because it's very specific. I like it because I work with the computer numerical control machine people for quite some time, and they have all conflicting standards as to how to specify objects for computer manufacturing. But this is surprisingly broad. This is almost as broad as the Internet of Things. But I still like this topic very much because I see that we can build a specific ontology around it. So my question to both Leo and Ram, do these two topics, since they include so many different types of things, do these two topics imply that we are doing a upper ontology project to do these topics? Al.
Well, I'll answer no. We're not trying to do an upper ontology. I mean, what we trace through here are aspects. We're not actually building anything, at least, you know, it's not anticipated. Typically what we have are sessions that go into aspects of the track, various tracks in some detail, invited speakers and so forth. On the other hand, we try to capture the knowledge that we're transmitting, so there may be a kind of implicit background model or ontology that folks may, you know, bring to bear or create, but it's not really intending to do any ontology modeling or ontology, especially upper ontology modeling.
Leo, could you speak to a minute about why you feel this might be too detailed for a summit? What do you see of the previous summits have been? And at what level of abstraction is worthwhile for the meeting?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I think this is something that would interest ontologists, but also, you know, we always have a internal perspective and an external perspective. So the internal is like our own practice and our own methods as ontology and ontologists and ontology community. But there's also the external, which is communities that could, you know, affect, be affected by, and we could affect. And of course, with artifacts, it spans many, many external domains. I mean, you can think of one of the definitions of human may be, in fact, that you create stuff. So, you know, domains like obviously healthcare, but manufacturing in particular, software development. So there's ways to bring some of those different communities into this because they have a common focus on maybe building, creating, building, designing, and so forth. So I think it's just, you know, my interest is more in the ontological analysis of this stuff, but I'm, you know, that this is why I stopped with two tracks, because they were just getting too detailed. And if you want, the first one is more of the analysis, and the second is more of the potential external communities. But we also know that every domain raises different issues, like art and fiction, you know, complex enough right in its own right, as opposed to science and engineering, which is has its own complexities. Does that help?
I think so. I hadn't thought about the external community as participating in the meetings. For me, since I haven't also come to many of the summits, I depend on the external, the produced artifacts. And that's why I would argue that, oh, this is Dave Whitten, by the way. I would argue that this is creating an artifact is just as important as making sure that we get the abstraction level at the right height so that we can talk about things without going into rabbit holes, as they say.
Yeah, yep, I agree.
Other comments? So Leo, I think some of the comments has been, you know, that on the one hand, it sounds like a very broad topic, but on the other hand, it ends up becoming a very detailed technical topic that might not have broad appeal. What's your feeling on that trade-off there?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree, which is, you know, this is why I prefaced, you know, I for example, I like the first two topics that were here, were presented out too. And, you know, you can think of even the Internet of Things, some aspects, I think as William had mentioned, some aspects like artifacts have to come into that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because most of our most of our things are artifacts.
Right.
So, again, this is Ramya. I'm sorry, Sam. I'm butting in because I'm driving. So, Leo, actually, it could be a track in the Internet of Things on everything, because you can. It'll be a nice track if you go in that direction.
Yeah, definitely. You know, so prevent us from going down multiple rabbit holes, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mark. Mark Underwood, star 7 to unmute yourself. Hit star 7 on your keypad. Actually, I think I just lost him. Yeah, okay, he just lost the Skype line. He'll redial. So while we wait for him to join back in, any other comments? Okay, so let's just wait for Mark. Like, he lost the Skype connection. He's just dialing back in because he had one other comment.
One thing that we've discussed in the chat, or at least I brought up in the chat, was this idea of role types. Is that what you mean, Leo? Or are you talking about things like everything can be seen as a weapon or anything?
I would distinguish between that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I would distinguish between, so roles, it could be, there's aspects to that, right? So, roles and functions. Now you get into other issues, but you know, if you're using one of the old examples is something like you use a, you know, you create a, you find a seashell and you use it for an ashtray, becomes an artifact, but it's still a seashell. But let's say now you don't want it to be a seashell, an ashtray anymore. Well, you throw it at somebody as a weapon, or you crush it, and now it's something else, right? So there's those notions of roles, which kind of go with functions, but there's also social roles involved. So when you, the social roles associated with artifacts and artifact creation.
Okay.
I'm back on if I can jump in.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up a use case that's a useful way to try to tease out where the IoT or IoE connection might be, and that's the provenance problem for Internet of Things. So I'm working on the NIST big data security and privacy subgroup, and one of the big things we're wrestling with there is how to protect the provenance and identity, you know, and validate the validity of stuff coming in from sensors, and including aggregated data that's coming in from non-sensor places like the outputs of analytics as a service platforms and some other aggregate cloud stuff. And the challenge there is that the provenance stuff is very tied to what the thing is and to what the artifacts produced by it are. Like, is it signal levels? Is it a digital signature? Is it a DRM? Is it something that has to be within a defined psychophysical bandwidth to be perceived in some kind of human sense? So I don't know the answer to where, you know, which of these tracks it belongs in, but that's a use case where we really wrestle with this and where the abstraction types and categories for the ontologies are not at all obvious. And I suspect that the developers working in this space are not employing ontology thinking where they possibly could be. Over.
Thanks. That's a good point. Okay, so if there aren't any other comments on this theme, let's move to the final theme that was proposed at our last brainstorming session, and that was the applied ontology body of knowledge. And as I mentioned at the beginning of my opening remarks,
you are now on mute, Ted.
This idea of writing an ontology textbook, that's something that's been floating around even within the International Association of Ontologies Applications. There's an education committee that's been tossing this idea around. And it was proposed as one idea for a summit, and people recognized the idea of crowdsourcing a textbook might not be the most efficient means to go about it. But one other idea that came out of that was this idea of having a body of knowledge. So there's people are familiar, might be familiar with the software engineering body of knowledge or the project management body of knowledge, where you're capturing best practices, technical backgrounds and things like this. And so I think along these lines, I'm just going to paste in something, was that this track would be exploring best practices for different aspects of what we've been working on. And so there would be different tracks of exploring best practices for ontology design, ontology shareability, ontology evaluation, and ontology application implementation, including automated reasoning. And so in some sense, some of these would be you know, kind of reaching back to earlier summits and kind of seeing what's happened since then. Some of these would be kind of going off new directions. And there was some discussion about, you know, like language specific versus language independent practices. So there, you know, could be some material that talks about, you know, what are best practices for ontology design in general, but maybe, you know, for OWL, there'd be some additional things. And other things that could be discussed in these, like ontology design, would be things like ontology patterns. So how ontology patterns can effectively be used. Ontology anti-pattern, things not to do, but the focus that I've been thinking of, and we can hear from Ken as well, these are some of the ideas that I thought might be in the scope of this theme. Like I said, this idea of trying to identify these best practices, because as a field, I think we sort of lack some of this real engineering discipline. And so maybe that'd be another title for this theme, could be, you know, towards the discipline of ontology engineering. And so, you know, what best practices and what ideas constitute an engineering discipline for applied ontologies. So I don't know, Ken, you might want to say a few things, and then we can open it up to discussion.
Well, first of all, there was an ontology summit dealing with kind of this issue, you know, like what is required for someone to be in, you know, an ontologist. I forget which one that was, but we did
That was Educating the Ontologist of the Future.
Of the Future. So we've done something like this already, but I think this was more, why don't we try to collect together the body of knowledge that we've, well, in effect, have already been working on in these series of summits, to try to make it into kind of a encyclopedia or a collection of best practices, like you say. But at the last meeting, at our last meeting, I also remarked that this is not really independent of the other proposals that are being made today. And in fact, it could be part of one of these other proposals to have a track that kind of also, you know, that goes along with the others, but is collecting the best practices during the summit. And in fact, this might be something we do in general for summits going forward, is to always make sure we have a track that collects best practices during the summit. In fact, that was why I was kind of interested in the in talking about track 4 and 6 in the first proposal, is that those do seem to fit this kind of thing, this kind of approach rather nicely. But I'm sure that in the other proposals one could do it as well. So we could either think of having a whole summit devoted to this kind of approach, this kind of, you know, problem, or it could just be part of one of the other proposals.
Right. Yeah. So just a few comments in response. So I saw this as being different from the Ontologist of the Future summit that we had, because that was really oriented towards education and the kind of the background that an ontologist we need to have, whereas this is kind of more looking at from an engineering perspective, right, as a discipline. So I saw it as having a different emphasis. But your other point though being, you know, that maybe this isn't actually a good summit theme, but really should be this kind of parallel activity that perhaps maybe the IAOA can be supporting, of actually collecting these and then maybe having the occasional ontolog forum to have discussions about them. But, you know, maybe it's not quite, appropriate as a summit theme.
Yeah, it was basically my feeling too. And, and with regard to the earlier summit, it's like we never really finished that work in that other summit, in that we didn't really produce a body of knowledge to go with, what we did at the summit.
Right.
So it was really more like looking at requirements rather than actually going forward and actually implementing. So I think, you know, I think maybe this is not quite right for a full summit, but I'll let the people at the meeting decide.
Yeah, okay. Other comments?
Hello, William Smith, my one.
Yes, go ahead, William.
I understand the last caller's point of view that it may not be quite right for a summit, entire summit, but I think that it is number one, at least something that should be done and part of the mission of this forum. I've been lurking on this forum for several years, seeing how it gathered a lot of information, and this question of how to package it, how to deliver it, what to do with it has always come up. And this body of knowledge seems to be the perfect next step and realization of the legacy of all of the intellectual property and intellectual work that's going into this. So I think that a body of knowledge should be done in some form, whether it's implicit in every summit that the body of knowledge grows, or it is a standalone topic itself, just to kickstart the body of knowledge. Then for every summit thereafter, the body of knowledge continues. But I see this as something that is ongoing, part of the mission of this forum, and something quite doable, something I'm interested in participating in. Over.
Thanks. Oh, that's good comments. Mike Bennett, go ahead. Star 7, just to remind you. Sorry, Mike. Here, I can. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Hi, sorry, I forgot you muted everybody earlier, so apologies for that, and I had to open about seven windows. So,
go ahead.
So, part of the thinking behind this came out of the IAOA Semantic Web Ontology Special Interest Group. We've been thinking about how best to create a body of knowledge and so on. But I think the last couple of comments are very much on point. It's not so much, is it what this summit should do, as is it something that should happen and that we as a community should make happen? And as I saw some of the other proposals for the summit, I was thinking, oh, you know, each new summit is going to make a body of knowledge obsolete because there's more knowledge. So as one of the people who's been very much behind this idea, I do... As long as we are very diligent about it, I do like the idea that, A, every ontology summit has as part of its activity creating or updating the body of knowledge coming out of that, and, B, that, you know, during the rest of the year, the ontolog forum actually takes time out to help make that happen. So I just thought I'd mention that.
Right, yeah, so I guess this is an emerging mission here then for maybe these IAOA and its education committee can be the place where this is incubated. But it might not be the best. The ontology summit would not be the place to be doing this. So
yeah, it might become a bit meta in a way.
Are there any other comments then before we go to the rapid question round, the elimination round, I should say. So we've just finished the round robin. Now we're going to go through the elimination round. Let's get my sports metaphors correct here. Leo, go ahead.
One question. On this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You know, in the past, we've proposed for almost all the ontology summits that so we have so much detail, so much potential depth, that we could have written a book at the end by having everyone who contributed or most people who contribute to the book and just elaborate what they said. So I think that that's the case. And in this topic, it would be really focused on where we've been and what there is in our world. And it would still be very useful. And, the Semantic Web Applied Ontology SIG of IAOA supports it, too. Because we do need something like this, and a core book, if you will, that captures basically the state of our knowledge at this point in some level of detail. Again, you know, whether that should be an ontology summit theme is an issue, but I still think it's important.
This is Dave Whitten. One question I had to do was if we chose such a topic about the book on knowledge idea, is that we're talking about a physical book? Are we talking about a particular wiki tied around this? Is our questions about the mechanics of actually doing it appropriate in this call? especially if we had enough information from our last previous summits, but I haven't seen any books. Therefore, there's some disconnect, and I was just wondering if that's worth talking about.
No, we've never had a book from any of the summits because our main product has been the communique. There are certain other smaller products too, but we've talked about it every year. So, in fact, we're still talking about the last year's summit in the same way. We've talked about having maybe a special issue of Applied Ontology, but also a book that covered the grounds that we covered last year, 2014 Ontology Summit. But, you know, again, what this is trying to do is to give us structure, motivate us, provide a potential venue, and, you know, typical books, in my experience, take longer than a year, even if, so all you could do is really lay down a kind of blueprint or roadmap in an Ontology Summit for a potential book, but you can think about elaborating it after the fact, which is what we're still trying to do with last year's summit.
I have a comment to that. Am I on?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the last caller's issue was format. Now, I'm not in the publishing world, but I do know, Leo, you made the point several times, a book, quote-unquote, is very hard to do. So if we change the format, take advantage of the Ontology Forum wiki format, and produce the content without physical publishing, but just publish it on the wiki, does that virtual publication make it less onerous to produce the same content that would come out in a book?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I'd like to respond to is that, you know, when we talk about book, it doesn't mean it's necessarily paper-based, but it could be electronic, could be free, it could be all these things, we don't know yet. But I think the process to do that should be as rigorous as typically writing and publishing a book. So writing in particular. So you need to have editors and guidelines and, you know, contributors and deadlines. You could have that in a wiki situation and or, you know, project from the book and its contents, whatever form that book is, back to the wiki so that the wiki, you know, displays the information from the book. We work in both directions, so we're kind of open.
Right, so I'm just going to cut this discussion off here because it's drifting a little bit into like other issues kind of orthogonal to determining today's theme. So I say continue the sports metaphor I had a few minutes ago. This is now the end of the round robin, and we're moving to the elimination round. And I think just based on this discussion, I'm thinking that the Applied Ontology body of knowledge as a theme will be eliminated because it's maybe not best addressed within an Ontology Summit. It kind of applies to any Ontology Summit, or it kind of is a broader mission than just what the Ontology Summit can deliver. Just summarizing some earlier discussion, I think the socio-technical aspects of Applied Ontology, it's a much more ambitious theme. I think, as Christopher is saying, I mean, there's a lot of potential benefit there. There's a lot of payoff, but it may be something that we need to explore a little bit, perhaps as a mini-series within Ontolog Forum, and to kind of maybe explore it a little bit more. Maybe it could be a future theme. So that sounds like it leaves then the two remaining tracks, Internet of Everything and Artifacts. And so we could begin the playoff game now. Thoughts on those two? So star 7 for people to unmute themselves.
William Sweet here. As someone said earlier, artifacts could be a track under Internet of Things. They seem to be very much related.
Okay. True. That could be, that's right. It could be a particular session within there. At the risk of making a proposal here, it sounds like the Internet of Everything theme has a lot of support. A lot of thought has gone into the structure, and it seems like a very exciting topic, and it seems like a very feasible topic. Is there a loose consensus that this could indeed be the theme for Ontology Summit 2015? Terry, go ahead. Here, I'll unmute everybody right now. Where are we here?
Yeah.
Interactive.
I think one of my problems with the idea of the Internet of Things is that it really limits things, limits ontology talking about what we have technical.
Okay, sorry. That was a mistake. Okay, I'm muting everybody again.
This is Terry again. I can't hear anybody.
Go ahead, Terry.
Terry. Thanks. I was just saying that I'm not sure that I like limiting us to the Internet of Things. I mean, that's kind of a solution in search of a problem, I think.
I just want to correct it. It's not Internet of Things, it's Internet of Everything.
Right. Sorry. Yes.
Fair enough. Well, at any rate, the point is, it's not just the Internet that I'm concerned with. In fact, there's a lot of stuff that I think ontology is useful for that doesn't even need a computer intrinsically or a network.
Okay. Anyway, I think and maybe a little presumptuous here, but if we kind of winnowed it down to these two themes of, I think the socio-technical aspects, which you've been championing, I thought we kind of were seeing it as being something that was maybe more ambitious than we could handle at this point in time, and that it may need a couple of, a mini-series in Ontolog Forum to really kind of get a better handle on what's going on there. So we're really deciding between...
That's fair enough. I put my presentation on the chat. I couldn't get it into the wiki, but people can look at it and see what I was talking about. Anyway, I think my perspective is kind of tangential to Chris's, Christopher's. So, we'll let it go.
Okay. So, are there any? Again, do we have a loose consensus then on, and again, to be precise, Internet of Everything towards smart network systems and societies. So let's put that question here. And again, *7 to unmute yourself. I had to mute because it was very, very noisy on the line. Or again, put your hand, click on the hand icon on the lower right-hand corner of the chat session.
Hello, this is David Witten.
Go ahead, David.
My concern about having a summit right now about the Internet of Things is that I feel it's a very important topic that's very actively being researched right now. If we think of our summit as a way of increasing or making available some of that research that's actively happening, I think that's great. But I'm concerned that we have evidence on this call, at least, the idea that once we do a summit on something, then we're not really planning on doing a summit on it ever again. And because of that, it feels like the Internet of Things is still something that 2 years to percolate might actually end up with a better summit.
Mm-hmm.
People who know more about the Internet of Things
probably shouldn't express an opinion on this, but it feels like it's still very, very nascent. It hasn't been well formed yet. And as such, I'm concerned that we wouldn't, we would help it to crystallize perhaps, but we wouldn't necessarily, use our shot at trying to do an ontology on Internet of Things, at this point. And it might be better for the, to do that later. I'll let those who know a little bit more about the topic show why I'm wrong about that idea.
Okay, so please capture that, put that into the chat, please. And I just want to make two comments to that, and then Mark Underwood, you can go ahead. So I think one of the ideas that this came up the last call in October, on October 9th, was that this would be a kind of a unique opportunity to inject this area with ontology, applied ontology, really early on, as opposed to coming to the game afterwards, when a lot of things have been kind of determined by research trajectories and things like that. So this would be a kind of a unique window. This was one of the ideas, the motivations for having big data. So that was kind of, I think that's kind of one of the reasons why this was a very interesting topic. So just as your one comment. Now, your other comment, though, being that perhaps it's too early, and that if we waited a couple of years, it might be a better topic. I think one of the things that also has come out of earlier summits has been, yes, granted, you know, a summit topic ends up tries to be unique in the series, but many of the summits have led to a kind of a more permanent ongoing effort. So there was a summit on repositories. And that has led to like an open ontology repository initiative. There are big ontology repositories being developed with, you know, by people within this community. The ontology, making the ontologist for the future, evolved into the ontology committee within the IAOA. Similarly, last year's topic, the semantic web meets applied ontology, has evolved into a special interest group within the association. So I think, because if we looked at the summit as being this kind of opportunity to really establish a mini community that then can persist over time and have this long-term influence on the field, it'd be something that would be really beneficial. So Mark Underwood, go ahead.
Thanks. You really made the point better than I could. I just was going to add that I think there's a case to be made that the community is both nascent and mature at the same time, and that it's really exactly parallel to the big data conference that was done earlier in our last meeting. An example of that is there's already a W3C standard for sensor networks, and that's one of the standards that's being leveraged for existing ontology work that's being done, but you still have a chance to influence the outcome of the standards groups. So I think it's really the timing is right to do this. I'll leave the rest of what Michael said as is, because I think he made the point well.
Michael, this is Ram. I have to log off right now.
Thank you. Thanks, Ram.
Okay, bye.
Okay, there's somebody else just before Mark spoke. Maybe somebody was in the chat had a comment.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dennis Wisnowski. I agree with the last two comments. I think that if there's a time to influence, this is an ontologist of semantics. If there's a field that is being figured out, that's when we should join, not after everything is already done, or even in the middle when things can't be undone.
Okay. So any other comments? Because I think maybe we are, again, kind of coalescing around this Internet of Everything as a theme. And just to address Donna's point in the chat, I think everyone also recognizes that there still needs to be some work being done here. I mean, everyone's done a fantastic job of doing this preparation, but it's by no means, you know, the final thing. And so between now and early December, so we have to figure out exactly which date would be good, December 4th or 11th, that would be the I think what do we call that? Leo or and Ken, is it the pre-launch? What do we call the December meeting?
Yeah. If it's truly a pre-launch, the launch is typically in like January, I think.
Yeah. So I think we call it the pre-launch community input and planning session. So refining the ideas around the theme and the program for the Ontology Summit. This is what we've had in previous years. So I think it would be at that session that we would have kind of the discussion in which we would nail down exactly what the tracks would be, who would be the champions for each track, who is going to be the co-organizer, for the summit and things like that. So there's still a little bit more work to do in the next month. But I think that'd be the time. So I think what happened was last year, the year before, I think what we had is we had some ideas for tracks, and then we had that December meeting. There was a lot more discussion, and we came out of that, the pre-launch community input and planning session with a revised set of tracks, and that's actually what became the summit. So, like I said, there's still opportunity to focus and refine the scope, of the theme.
Yeah, if anything, I think this year we've had a little more exploratory discussion than we have in the past. So that's useful, and I think that if we do choose, we could begin to solidify in the next meeting.
Yeah. Okay, so... I guess without any major objections, I think we could maybe kind of adopt this as the theme. And this is the working title. So I guess the three people that were involved in putting together the material for today, so it'd be Mark Underwood, Ram Sriram, and Joel Bender. For now, I guess you guys can kind of be the nucleus. This is not committing you to a long-term thing here, but between now and the next session, if you could take the lead. And let's use the Ontology Summit list as the list for having this discussion. So this is open. Everything about this is completely open. Nothing about this is closed. So I encourage everyone to be brainstorming about this online in the summit list on Ontolog Forum, to be brainstorming on refining the topic, refining the track topics, doing combinations, splitting, whatever, of the ones that were proposed today, and in preparation for the early December session. Do people have preferences? Would December 11th be okay for the...
I think I would suggest maybe the 11th, if that's good, because we're still wrangling for another meeting maybe on the 4th.
Right. Okay, so this is for the pre-launch . Okay, so OMG has a meeting then, but are there any other conflicts? You can always pop out of your meeting, Mike, and listen in by Skype. Or you could just be sitting in your meeting with your little earplug listening to us on Skype. Okay, so let's go with that. It's tentatively set December 11th as the pre-launch community input and planning session. And
Mike, this is Terry. What time of the day would that be?
Same time.
Same time, 12:30 Eastern?
Yes. Okay, so let's do that. And I said, please, let's get this discussion going. Let's see. Mark, would you mind maybe, because Ron's already gone, to maybe send out an initial, I'll send out an initial message kind of saying that this is what was decided today, and then you can follow that up with some more detail about the tracks and invite everybody to join the discussion.
Will do.
Okay, great. All right, well, thanks a lot, everyone. This should be quite exciting, and really look forward to it. So talk to everybody December 11th, so a little more than a month from now. Well, we will have the pre-launch community input and planning session for Ontology Summit 2015. Thanks a lot, everyone. Goodbye.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Thanks, all.
The moderator.